free. American Silver Eagle. Call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions prompts the Department of Justice to launch an investigation into the FBI's use of FISA warrants. Wants to find out if the FBI used false information to get that warrant to monitor Carter Page, who's the president's former foreign policy advisor. Nicholas Cruz, the accused Parkland, Florida shooter, getting a lot of fan mail at the Broward County Jail. He's getting love letters, suggestive photos, and Facebook communities are also popping up for people to talk about how to help him. He's accused of shooting and killing 17 people on Valentine's Day. Lawsuits against Saudi Arabia allowed to be filed for helping plan the September 11th attacks. A judge making that ruling, as most of the hijackers were Saudis, and the suits say they're responsible for the deaths of nearly 3,000 people. Back from a trip to China this week, North Korea's leader will soon be making his second trip outside the nation since coming into power in 2011. USA Radio's Chris Barnes with more.
The two Koreas announcing that North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un this time will step across the border to meet South Korean President Moon Jae-in on April 27th. Their meeting will take place at the Peace House, located in the so-called Truce Village on the country's border. If it happens, Kim will be the first North Korean leader to visit the South since the Korean War. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The president going after Amazon on Twitter, saying he's concerned they're putting thousands of retailers out of business and not paying taxes to state and local governments. I'm John DeMaster for USA Radio News.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose, and thank you so much.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to Healthy Hunterdon. I'm going to give you your weather report. This afternoon, a chance of showers, mainly before 4 o'clock. Cloudy with a high near 58. Southeast wind around 6 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is about 30%. New precipitation amount of less than a tenth of an inch possible. It does look like it might rain out there, so don't forget your umbrellas.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you. Oh, I feel nice.
Hey, here we are, Healthy Hunterdon. It's been a while. I'll confess that last month I forgot to come in for my show. I guess that's what you get when you hire volunteers to do this kind of work. But I do apologize to the listeners for them having to listen to a rerun. But today I am very happy to be here with Bev Manganelli, who is someone that I've known for a while, who works for Hunterdon Healthcare System. And I always find it easier for guests to introduce themselves because I forget all your credentials and all that other good stuff. So I'm going to hand it over to Bev to say who she is and where she's from.
Bev Manganelli from the Center for Nutrition and Diabetes Management at Hunterdon Medical Center. I'm the director there of a pretty large diabetes center where we have diabetes nurse educators and dietitians on call to do diabetes education for anyone who's referred into us.
That's great. That's great. And one of the reasons I wanted to have Bev on the show today is because the prevalence of diabetes, and also something that we're going to talk about, which is pre-diabetes, is really running rampant. And I think Bev and I would both agree that there's things that we can do in our lives to help prevent some of these things. And if we can't help prevent them, to certainly manage them and live, you know, the longest, healthiest life possible. For those of you who have not listened to the show before, this is Healthy Hunterdon, and we created the show really to talk about creating a culture of health throughout Hunterdon County and beyond, really all over the nation. There's a lot of health issues that we do have control over as individuals, and this show really tries to teach people practical things, simple things. We always say hashtag small changes, big impact, which is, you know, small things that we can change in our daily lives that has a positive impact on our health. So again, today we are going to be concentrating on healthy lifestyles and talking specifically about diabetes and pre-diabetes. So I think I'd like to start out with something just so everybody kind of understands what exactly is diabetes and what is this thing we're calling pre-diabetes.
Okay, to start out with, diabetes is a chronic condition. Many, many people have it. In fact, about 30 million people in the United States have it. And if you look at that in terms of Hunterdon County, over 12,000 people in Hunterdon County have diabetes. Some don't know it. Diabetes is divided into different conditions. There's type 1 diabetes, which is the total lack of insulin, and those patients or those people always have to take insulin. Type 2 diabetes, which is probably the most common form of diabetes that you know, usually starts in adulthood, but with the obesity rates being what they are, can often start much younger than in the past. And there's also gestational diabetes, which is diabetes in pregnancy. So there are those three types of diabetes that exist, and our diabetes center does educate people for all three of them. Okay.
So I'm going to ask a question, because for people that may not understand how the body works or what exactly happens in our body, or what part of our body or which organ is involved with controlling our blood sugar in our blood?
Okay, I'm going to talk primarily about type 2 diabetes today because it is the most common form. So basically in type 2 diabetes, your pancreas is involved because it produces insulin. In type 2 diabetes, there's two things that can happen. One is that the pancreas does not produce enough insulin anymore, or there's something called insulin resistance, which does not allow your body to use the insulin that you produce as it should. Either one can happen, and if both of them, or one or the other, are happening, then you can get high blood sugar, which is diagnosed then as diabetes.
Right, right. So what are some of the things that, you know, someone who hasn't been officially diagnosed yet, mm-hmm. what are some of the things that they might experience, or maybe symptoms or signs that they should kind of look for to think like, well, gee, do I have diabetes mm-hmm. or pre-diabetes?
Well, sometimes there's no symptoms at all. However, you know, there's very likely can be hunger, thirst, going to the bathroom a lot is a big one, tiredness, fatigue, hunger, all of those things could make you think, could I have diabetes?
Right. So if you're experiencing any of those things and they're kind of outside of your norm, what should you do?
If they're outside of your norm and you have a primary care doctor, you should definitely check in with them because they can do testing that will definitely show if you have diabetes or not. And okay. at that point, you know, that's the best thing you can do.
Okay. So is there some specific kind of test that you would go for, or do they look at your urine or your blood, or what is it that they exactly look at?
Generally, what they'll probably do is take two things they could do is look at something called an hemoglobin A1C. And that is a blood test that measures your average blood sugar over approximately 3 months. And if that's within the diabetes range, which is over 6.5, then you will be diagnosed with diabetes. They can also just take a fasting blood sugar, and if that's out of range, that also can be a diagnosis for diabetes. So there's those two tests that your physician will decide on which one that is.
Okay. That's definitely good to know. So, you know, as I'm sitting here, if, you know, I happen to be a nurse, but if I was someone who didn't know anything about what we're talking about, you know, why should I really care about diabetes or pre-diabetes? Well, how is it going to impact me? Why should I care?
Well, diabetes, unfortunately, can impact every organ in your body, including skin, feet, eyes, kidneys, heart. So the longer you let undiagnosed diabetes go, the damage to and the complications that you can get from having that high blood sugar can wreak havoc in your body. So the earlier the better that you can treat it, because there are tons of diabetes medications, both oral and injectable, these days that can really help control your blood sugar. And that's not mentioning even diet and exercise, which we'll talk about more as we go on.
Right, right. And I think you bring up a really good point, because I know a lot of people that are afraid to go to their primary care, even just for an annual physical. And especially if they feel like they're out of shape or that maybe the doctor is going to find something. Mm-hmm. But what I hear you saying is that if we catch this early, there's a lot better chance that it's not going to have as big of an impact on your health and your organs and all of the bad stuff that we're going to talk about in a little bit that can happen with diabetes.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
So earlier the better. It allows you to then make the lifestyle changes that you'll need to make with your diet and with exercise and again, with possible medications that can help control this earlier in your life. And unfortunately, diabetes is also not a steady disease state, meaning that, you know, you can be controlling your diabetes for a long time, and then all of a sudden you might see spikes in your blood sugar. Mm. And that happens because your pancreas maybe gets a little bit tired. You may get, a little bit more insulin resistance. And at that point, you might need adjustments in your medications or start a medication, or you may need to do a little bit of a refresher with your diet. So you always want to be monitoring, you know, what's going on with your diabetes.
Right. So it sounds like once you're diagnosed, you really need to stay on top of it and make sure you're visiting your care provider regularly.
Right.
Does that usually mean more than once a year then, once you've been diagnosed?
Probably, because the A1C, it's recommended to be done every 3 months or so. Now, if you're in better control, that your physician may decide, to do it less often than that. But, to make sure that things are doing what they need to do, you'll probably see your physician 3 or 4 times a year, at least for diabetes.
Okay. So you may start off at your primary care physician, but are there, specialists who specifically treat patients with diabetes?
Yes. So if your diabetes was really out of control, your primary care doctor may send you to what we call an endocrinologist who specifically treats diabetes as well as other things. But that endocrinologist will look at the big picture and see if additional medications need to be added and how that what they can do to help improve your control.
Okay. And we have about 2 minutes before we take our next break, but for people that might be a little fearful of going to the doctor for diabetes, what can they expect? What is a typical visit like?
Your doctor will order the A1C, or sometimes they have in the office, they'll have an A1C on-site machine, and they can actually take your blood work, their blood there, and tell you what your A1C will be. But they will, basically tell you, they'll look at your body mass index, see if you're obese or overweight, and if you are, they will recommend weight management for you. They'll also start by looking at, they may look at your feet, because your diabetes can affect the feet. They want to make sure that there's no cuts or open wounds or anything there that's of concern. Right. And basically, they might send you at that point to a diabetes educator. And that's where we come in at the Center for Nutrition and Diabetes, because obviously your physician has a certain amount of time to be able to talk to you about your diabetes. But when you get diabetes education, you're basically able to spend an hour or more with a nurse or a dietitian that could really help you modify your lifestyle changes.
Right. That's great. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about some of those lifestyle changes when we come back after this commercial break.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got it here.
Okay. And we are back in the studio with Healthy Hunterdon. Today we have a wonderful guest, Bev Manganelli from the Center for Diabetes. And she works for Hunterdon Healthcare, and we are talking about diabetes and pre-diabetes, and more importantly, we're talking about how we can reduce our risk of diabetes, and certainly if we have diabetes, to learn to live the healthiest life we can, even if we do have diabetes. So before the break, we were going to talk about some lifestyle changes, mm-hmm. but before we get into that, can we talk about risk factors? What makes somebody have a risk factor, or what is a risk factor associated with diabetes or pre-diabetes?
Basically, age over 45 is okay. a risk factor. That's something you can't modify.
Right.
Obesity or mm-hmm. overweight is a risk factor. If you're a member of a minority group, that's also a risk factor. If you had gestational diabetes, if you have a parent or first-degree relative with diabetes, then you're more at risk. So there are a few there that you can modify and a few there that you can't.
Right, right. And you mentioned obesity, which are being overweight, and that's obviously something that you can try to control.
Right.
And something we talk a lot about on the show. And I'll share with the audience that 70% of the residents in Hunterdon County mm-hmm. are either overweight or obese. And that statistic is really scary, especially, you know, with what you just taught us, which is
exactly.
that it's a risk factor. Mm-hmm. So that's saying that most of our residents could be at risk for diabetes, pre-diabetes. There's probably people listening right now who are pre-diabetic mm-hmm. and don't even know it.
Exactly.
So, so I'd like to talk about, you know, what kinds of things we can do to reduce our risk of diabetes or pre-diabetes.
Okay. We haven't talked too much about the pre-diabetes, so let's just
okay.
kind of define
yeah,
that
sure.
too. So pre-diabetes is the kind of the step before diabetes. Your hemoglobin A1C or your blood sugar is high, but it's not high enough to be diagnosed as diabetes.
Okay.
Now with pre-diabetes, some of the studies have shown us, or one big study actually has shown us, that if you do lifestyle modification, which is in general exercise and diet modification, you can reduce your risk of converting to diabetes by almost 60%.
Wow.
Which is a big, you know, your odds are pretty good for that. So what does that mean? It means modifying what you eat and making sure that you get enough exercise. And this is also true for diabetes. So we can really talk about, you know, those two things right. for both conditions. Right. So pre-diabetes, they recommend you to have 150 minutes of exercise per week. That does include some strength training and then also weight management. It also involves both for diabetes and pre-diabetes watching carbohydrate intake. And what I mean by that is excessive carbohydrates. And I will say that for most people, diet for both pre-diabetes and diabetes is very individualized. So it might be you never cook. So maybe one of your goals would be to learn, you know, to how to cook some healthy foods, make a healthy salad at home okay. instead of going out to eat a lot. So you want to individualize, you know, the type of changes that you make so that they are relevant and important for you. It's more likely that you will do them.
Right. That's a really good point because everybody's lives are different. Right. Different mm-hmm. people have access to different types of food or maybe the length of time they have to prepare their food. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to hear that you really individualize the plan.
Absolutely. That's one of the biggest things that we do. It's not, if you have diabetes or pre-diabetes education, there is no canned education session. A dietitian will work with exactly what your life is like. And then that way you can make practical changes in right. what you're doing.
Right.
So.
Right. Is visiting the registered dietitian, is that covered under your insurance?
So there's a couple answers to that question. Okay. So let's take a Medicare patient. So if a Medicare patient has diabetes, that actually is a covered benefit, 100% covered for nutrition.
Wow, that's great.
A patient who's newly diagnosed can see a dietitian for up to 3 hours the first year they're diagnosed. And then the second year and every year thereafter, they get 2 hours of nutrition counseling hours to use as a refresher, to use if your medications change, if your lifestyle changes. That you can also see a nurse diabetes educator who you can see for Medicare for 10 hours the year that you're diagnosed.
Wow.
excuse me. And then after that, you get another 2 hours with a nurse every year, too. That's covered at 80%. So that's the Medicare population. The commercial population is a little harder to answer. Most diabetes patients do have some format of coverage, but it does depend on the policy that your employer writes.
Okay.
And also your deductible and those kinds of things. But we always have you check your insurance before coming in for education so that you know if you're covered or not.
Okay.
So it's because it's so important to have that education.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a very big advocate for that. And even if I know there's some people that don't have coverage, people I've talked mm-hmm. to in the past, but it's well worth
the money.
Even
yes.
if it's out of pocket, because, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about what can happen if you let your diabetes go mm-hmm. uncontrolled and people would be begging to pay whatever it would cost up front. But yeah. a lot of times we don't think of preventive. We wait until something horrible happens.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's whether we're scared or whether it's a monetary issue or, you know, an access to care type issue. But we really want to encourage people to, you know, really look out for these signs and symptoms of different things, mm-hmm. to go to your primary care physician on an annual basis, just for your general health, not
right.
even, you know, diabetes aside. Mm-hmm. To know what your blood pressure is, know what your blood sugar is.
And that's quite honestly where you might find out that you have diabetes. If you really aren't having any symptoms and you go to your primary care doctor for your wellness visit, you know, your blood sugar may turn up to be out of range, you know, on your test. And at that point, you know, you can do something
right.
Instead of, you know, waiting for, like you're saying, for something to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. And earlier in our conversation, you said that there may not be science,
right.
which is kind of scary mm-hmm. in a way, because then you're kind of walking around not knowing. But what I would suggest to people is, based on our conversation, if you are overweight mm-hmm. or obese, or there's a family history, I know African Americans mm-hmm. are more at risk.
Right.
So if you're African American, you certainly want to make sure that you don't have diabetes or pre-diabetes.
Right. And you will be screened if you are overweight or obese. and have one other risk factor. So that would be the first-degree relative, the high-risk ethnicity, a history of cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, even polycystic ovaries. Your doctor will probably should be screening you anyway for that, for diabetes and prediabetes.
Okay. So polycystic ovaries, that's a new one to me. I didn't know that. So somebody who suffered from that
could have high blood sugars, and you do want to make sure that that's not happening.
See, I learned something today, Beth.
And there's a lot of weight management that goes along with that, too. Okay. So it's kind of twofold.
Yeah. Wow, that's really very interesting. Something else I learned today, I was doing an educational webinar at work on vaccines, and they were saying that certain vaccines don't work as well in people who are obese. And I had never heard that before.
I did not hear that either.
Yeah. So just another reason that we all need to keep our weight, you know, in a healthy range, and so many reasons. I mean, today we're talking about diabetes, but really just...
It impacts everything, really.
It really, really, really does. So if you're going to do anything for yourself, you know, try to keep your weight at a healthy weight. We have about 4 more minutes before we have to take our next break. So this is something that I've always found very confusing is, you know, what is a carb? Are there good carbs, bad carbs? You know, I mean, you open any magazine.
Yeah.
It's like one day you're eating carbs, the next day stay away from carbs, good carbs. It just gets really confusing even for me that's a nurse. So could you just talk about carbs a little bit and, you know, your view from a nutrition and diabetes standpoint?
Yeah. My background is that I am a registered dietitian. So before I became director at the center, I counseled patients all the time. So carbohydrates, yeah, you're right. It's kind of a
confusing
love-hate kind of relationship with them. But I think the biggest thing to know is that no one percentage of carbohydrates is ideal for every person. So again, that's another place that is individualized. When we're talking to a person with diabetes or prediabetes, we're looking at their individual needs. So some people, you know, who may be overweight or obese and are eating very, very excessive carbs, we might just moderate that, you know, and good carb versus bad carb. Yeah, there are some. The obvious ones are, of course, the good carbs are the higher fiber foods. Fruit is a carbohydrate. Milk and dairy are carbohydrates. And vegetables have a little bit of carbohydrate. So you don't want to completely cut out carbs because there are a lot of
good
foods that have carbs in them. But on the other hand, you have your carbs that are not doing you any favors. They're just providing you carbs and calories. Sweets, big one, of course, is soda. And also any kind of white flour, floury, you know, bread, white pasta. I'm not saying you can never eat those things, but certainly if you can choose the whole grain versions of those most of the time, then that would be your better bet.
Right.
So that's kind of answers the good carb, bad carb question. The amount of carbs is another story. Like I was saying, we do individualize it. Do we ever provide a low-carb diet at our center? Definitely, you know, to people who are motivated to do that or have already kind of modified their carbs on their own and might want to go a little lower, we'll help them do that healthfully. And, you know, we see how those things work on blood sugar because you will, if you do a little bit lower carb, you're going to see a change in your blood sugar. It's going to be lower. So we do want that to happen.
Okay. Now, for the pre-diabetic or diabetic, what about protein? How does that factor in?
Protein, for the most part, for a type 2, a person with type 2 diabetes or prediabetes is not going to impact blood sugar much.
Okay.
But you do want to do healthy proteins, of course, you know, chicken, fish, leaving the red meats and the pork for once in a while.
Okay.
You know, so you can certainly eat protein. It's not going to raise your blood sugar much.
Okay. All right. So what would be a typical, I mean, I know you said it's very individualized, but what would be maybe a sort of common breakfast for someone?
You could do a Greek yogurt and fruit, or you could do egg, an omelet with a slice of whole wheat toast. Again, individualized because some people, you know, somebody who is 6 foot tall is going to eat differently than somebody that's 5 feet tall.
Right.
So the caloric value of those meals would have to be, you know, worked out. But certainly you can do a protein, a carb, fruit at those meals without a problem.
Okay. We're going to take a break right now for news, and then we'll be back with more.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
We did anticipate retaliation, but it's counterproductive.
Russia retaliates, sending 60 U.S. diplomats packing from the U.S. consulate in St. Petersburg, just days after the U.S. and European allies expel Russians for that nerve agent attack on an ex-spy and daughter. Republican Representative Joe Wilson of South Carolina on Fox saying,
What Putin is doing is not in the interest of the people of Russia. In fact, I've been to St. Petersburg a number of times. The consulate there is substantial.
David Shulkin on his way out as the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, the president saying he's replacing him with Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson, who's the presidential physician. Leaders in Orange County, California, joined the Trump administration lawsuit against the state's immigrant sanctuary laws. California sanctuary law going into effect in January, limiting law enforcement's ability to work with immigration and customs enforcement. I'm John DeMaster for USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. Tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. Isn't it time to make a change? If drugs and alcohol is a problem in your life or someone you care about, it's time to make a change. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering amazing life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Program has successfully helped over 50,000 people get their life back. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple call to 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. That's 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. We are open 24/7 and all calls are confidential and free. Call now. 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com.
A funeral being held today for the California man shot and killed by police in his grandma's backyard. The Reverend Al Sharpton delivering a eulogy at Stephen Clark's funeral. Police called after reports of someone breaking car windows, encountering Clark in the yard, thought he was reaching for a weapon, and shot him. In Orlando, prosecutors present closing arguments yesterday in their case against the wife of Orlando nightclub shooter Omar Mateen, who pledged allegiance to ISIS, the jury deliberating.
Noor Salman is accused of aiding her husband in the 2016 Pulse nightclub massacre and has been charged with obstruction of justice and providing material support to a terrorist organization. Federal prosecutors state that the shooter's wife misled investigators about her husband's social media accounts, number of firearms, whereabouts, and their communication. She received a message stating, "I love you, babe," from her husband minutes before the attack. Prosecutors stating that Omar Mateen had actually planned to commit the terrorist attack at Disney World, but changed his destination at the last minute when he saw the number of police. Mateen and his wife had visited Disney World with their young son 2 days before the attack. I'm Jennifer Breeden.
And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions prompts the Department of Justice to launch an investigation into the FBI's use of FISA warrants. Wants to find out if the FBI used false information to get that warrant to monitor Carter Page, who's the president's former foreign policy advisor. Nicholas Cruz, the accused Parkland, Florida shooter, getting a lot of fan mail at the Broward County Jail. He's getting love letters, suggestive photos, and Facebook communities are also popping up for people to talk about how to help him. He's accused of shooting and killing 17 people on Valentine's Day. Lawsuits against Saudi Arabia allowed to be filed for helping plan the September 11th attacks, a judge making that ruling, as most of the hijackers were Saudis, and the suits say they're responsible for the deaths of nearly 3,000 people. Back from a trip to China this week, North Korea's leader will soon be making his second trip outside the nation since coming into power in 2011. USA Radio's Chris Barnes with more.
The two Koreas announcing that North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un this time will step across the border to meet South Korean President Moon Jae-in on April 27th. Their meeting will take place at the Peace House, located in the so-called Truce Village on the country's border. If it happens, Kim will be the first North Korean leader to visit the South since the Korean War. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The president going after Amazon on Twitter, saying he's concerned they're putting thousands of retailers out of business and not paying taxes to state and local governments. I'm John DeMaster for USA Radio News.
All right, it's time for the weather report. This time I'm going to do the look out the window weather report. I think we are all tired of the dreary, cold, damp weather we've been having. And there is a chance of precipitation. I think it's about 30%. So I do encourage y'all to bring your umbrellas. But since we are talking about getting healthy, we really should get outside and at least walk a little bit.
That's right.
And we can just bring our umbrellas, right, Bev?
I think we can walk with umbrellas just as easily with
In fact, I remember when we were kids, my brothers and I, we used to love to go out in the rain, and we would put on our rubber boots. Mm-hmm. And my mom didn't care, you know, just as long as we could stay active, we'd have our umbrellas, we'd be running around outside as long as there was no thunder and lightning.
Yeah,
we used
exactly.
to love it. Splashing in the puddles and everything else. So before the break, we were talking a little about carbohydrates. And, you know, I was saying how it can be very confusing and difficult to understand. But I think what we should talk a little bit about is portion size, mm-hmm. because this is something that I think we can all learn a bit from.
Yes. And I think we're all been kind of used to huge portions, and they become the norm. Mm-hmm. But really, if you decrease your portions, you could maybe eat that carbohydrate that you would like to have. So in the diabetes world, a third of a cup of pasta is one serving.
Oh my goodness.
Now that's cooked actually.
Wow.
So if you were allowed to have a couple carbs at your meals, you could probably have 2/3 of a cup of pasta, preferably whole grain.
Okay.
So when you think about the dish of pasta that you get in a restaurant, that is definitely not 2/3 of a cup of pasta. That could be 3 or 4 cups of pasta.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting a little bit realistic about your portion sizes will probably be one of the biggest things that helps a person with diabetes or prediabetes lose weight, cut the carbs a bit. That will in turn get your blood sugar in a better place.
Right, right. And one thing that I do just to try to keep my portions in check sometimes is that I'll use a smaller dinner plate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that when you, and you know what? Measuring, I haven't been measuring lately. I have to get back to that. But when I was trying to, I was sort of on a healthy eating plan mm-hmm. that I really need to get back to, I'll be honest with you. but I was measuring out my pasta. Mm-hmm. And when I first did it, I was appalled
yep.
at how little I could have. Or actually, should I say, in comparing it with what mm-hmm. my normal bowl of pasta
exactly. would I think
look
a lot
like.
Of people are surprised.
And but what was interesting was, so I used a smaller plate and then after I ate it and I had like some vegetables or whatever mm-hmm. I had on the side, maybe a salad, I was like, you know, that really was enough, mm-hmm. you know, which was interesting to me as well, because when I eat the big bowl of pasta, I'm full,
right?
You know, whereas when I ate what I was supposed to be eating, I was satisfied.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the terms are. You should be just satisfied after you eat, not full or extremely full.
Yeah.
So that's a learned kind of behavior.
Yeah.
Too. Another thing you can do is do a little bit of reverse measuring, like you're kind of like you were saying, put your usual pasta portion on your plate.
Okay.
Measure that. See what you
oh,
are
God.
Usually eating, and then compare it to the 2/3 or one, you know, cup or maybe one cup if you're, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. I think that would be a little bit scary.
It's a little scary. But you're right. Portion sizes are, you know, one of the biggest the biggest detriments to our lifestyles now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The one thing that my husband does, which I think is really smart, sometimes I'll make dishes with pasta, but it'll have, you know, broccoli and shrimp something like that. And he basically says, just give me the broccoli and shrimp and then throw a couple pastas in there.
Right.
So primarily it's the pasta, the broccoli and the shrimp. And then he just kind of has the pasta, which, you know, is probably the amount.
Right. That you should have.
Right.
The other couple other things now, you probably started to see it in ShopRite or other grocery stores, is that they do have the spiraled vegetables, like the spiraled zucchini, those kinds of things that kind of take the place of pasta, a lot less carbohydrate, lot less calories. They also have the riced cauliflower that you can buy frozen. And I was just reading a really nice recipe where you flavor it with lemon and put a little olive oil and garlic in it, and it's almost takes the place of rice. So there are other options out there now that help you use veggies more and cut carbs a little bit more. And again, I'm not talking about cutting carbs out entirely, just getting it to a more reasonable
place. Including the healthier ones that are the whole grain and those, they have some really delicious breads now that are very, you know, with seeds and grains and, really have nice fiber and taste good. I should add that, because a while ago there were a lot of breads out that were just really not good.
Yeah. I think that technology or whatever has come along
way.
And there's also a lot of grains out there now that are very healthy. Everybody knows quinoa now. Everybody, you know, is getting familiar with those, other things that can replace white pasta or white rice.
Yeah. Does quinoa have, is it lower in carbs or is it just better fiber and better
It's better
nutrients?
Fiber. It's not lower in carbs. It's better fiber. It has actually more protein.
Oh, okay.
So in those cases, you know, that it would be a better choice. But again, you still have to watch the portion.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So get those little containers. So the other thing that I have in my house is I have these little ramekins that I think are made for putting, you know, ketchup or condiments in or whatever. But we use them as snack bowls.
Yep.
So when we want pretzels or whatever it is that we're snacking on, we put them in these little bowls instead of bringing the bag to the TV, which is what we used to do. And then you sit there and eat the whole bag. Mm-hmm.
No, that's really smart because you've done your pre-portioning know, before. And certainly if you want a second, you can do it. But like you said, most of the time you're going to find that if you're not eating the whole bag, it's you're really not that hungry.
You're fine.
Yeah, especially if you're eating regular meals and snacks. And that's one of the other things for a person with diabetes or prediabetes. You really do want to eat three meals a day. And if you want snacks, healthy snacks, you can fit them in too. So
Right. So then you're keeping your blood sugar sort of at a constant.
Yep.
Right. We weren't planning on talking this, but maybe I'll bring it up. What have you heard recently that people are doing fastings? Like long, I forget, there's actually a term for it and I can't remember what it is, but they're doing intermittent fastings? Mm. That sounds like something that would be dangerous for a diabetic.
It probably would be, especially somebody who's on a diabetes medication, because you have to remember those medications lower blood sugar based on what you're technically eating, you know, carbohydrates, et cetera. And then if you all of a sudden cut all of those carbohydrates out, then those medications are still working. And guess what? You could have a problem with low blood sugar. So anytime you change your diet, whether it be fasting, which I'm not really advocating, but you cut carbs out of your diet, you should be working with your primary care doctor or endocrinologist to make sure that your blood sugars are not going in the other direction too low.
Right.
And you will know if you're low. You know, the signs and symptoms are shaking, sweating, you feel awful, you might be hungry, those types of things. And you should be monitoring your blood sugar also.
Yeah.
But you really do need to pay attention to that because high blood sugar is not good, but low blood sugar is dangerous also.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. So if someone is diabetic or pre-diabetic and they want to start an exercise program that they weren't on before, or they want to make major dietary changes, they should probably check with their physician, right?
We actually have a program called Living the Lower Carb Life. So it's a lower carb weight management program, and it's for adults. And you can have diabetes to use this program, but we do require that you work with your physician at the same time because we are cutting out carbs. And again, if you're on a medication, you could get into more trouble, you know, with hypoglycemia or low blood sugar.
Yeah.
So it's important.
That is important. Since you brought up your programs, I know that you have a program for children as well. Can you just talk about that for a minute before the break?
Sure. It's called Way to Go, and it's for children between the ages of 7 and 14. And it's a four-week program that one of our registered dietitians provides. We try to do it quarterly. And how this fits into our discussion today is that if you're a child who is obese or overweight, you're likely to be an adult who's obese or overweight, and then your risk of diabetes or prediabetes is up. So if we can capture those children at an early age and give them healthy toolkits, so to speak, you know, for eating, including their parents, because the parent is included in this program, then they have a better chance of, you know, losing weight or not even losing weight, just staying the same, growing into you know, their heights, whatever, because the focus is really healthy eating.
Okay.
So it's really, you know, it's a good thing to to look at.
That's great. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we will be back.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, yes!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, and we are back. I can't believe this is actually our final segment of the day. This has gone really fast because I think the information is very interesting, and I think it's very useful for all of us because even if we're not suffering from diabetes or prediabetes, we all need to know that we need to stay healthy to try to avoid some of these things.
Right.
So, at the end of the last segment, we were talking about children, and I just wanted to spend another minute on that because I think it's really, really important to note that we have been seeing an increase in children that are overweight or obese. And I really am horrified sometimes. I get upset, actually.
Yeah.
Because I just know as a nurse what's in store for them as they grow and age. And if something doesn't change in their lives, that they could run into a lot of problems, not just with diabetes, but with heart disease, joint problems. I mean, there's just an endless list of things.
And all at a very young age.
And at a very young age, exactly. Yep. So I don't know if you have anything to add about children.
Well, I think it's really interesting. This is from March 1st. it was just reported that there was a large increase in obesity among the youngest children, ages 2 to 5.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, that's really sad. In that age group, the obesity actually increased from 9% to 14%. So we're talking about kids who really cannot make their own choices about anything. So really what we have to hone in on is helping and teaching parents how to feed their children and, you know, what kind of healthy choices that they can make for their children because so that they can prevent that lifelong loop of gaining and losing, gaining and losing, and actually being obese all your life.
Right. I think that's a really good point for parents to understand, is that you're setting your children up for what kind of habits they're going to have later on.
Yeah.
And I know as a nurse, I've, you know, many parents have confided in me about issues with their children and their weight. And, you know, what I always kind of find out in talking to them is that they, and this is really my opinion, but they have difficulty saying no to their children. Mm-hmm. You know, if their children wants the extra cupcake or the extra cookie, or they spend too much screen time or sitting in front of the television because parents are busy and they're stressed. And believe me, I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. But I think that as parents, we need to kind of step up and educate ourselves about what's healthy for our children, and especially if, you know, we want them to have lifelong happiness and healthiness, which I'm sure all parents do. But we have to really say no, you know. You have to eat your vegetables. I had one parent tell me one time that their child didn't eat any vegetables because they didn't like them. And I said, well, trust me, my kids are not running to the dinner table for their vegetables either. But we just had a rule that a vegetable was part of your dinner and you had to eat it. You know, I did try to make things that they liked. Like, my kids like broccoli, which is a great vegetable. So I served a lot of broccoli. But, you know, again, I didn't give them a choice.
Right.
And certain choices I don't think children should have. You know, as the parent, we got to step up.
And that includes sugary drinks. And you don't, those kinds of things you just don't have in the house. And the other thing, you know, parents need to have those healthy snacks readily available, cut up, easily accessed. If you want to have a cookie or a cupcake in the house, it shouldn't be the easiest thing to get.
That's a great point. That's a really great point. So when you're setting up your pantry or you're setting up your refrigerator, especially when they're little and they can't reach the top, you know, that you have those healthy things ready to go, and maybe even put them into their little bowls, you know, so all they have to do is just grab their bowl and they have their little bowl of carrots or grapes or, you know, whatever it is that,
it becomes the norm instead of the cupcake becoming the norm.
That's a really good point. I know in our house, we are, well, when they were real little, they weren't allowed to have soda at all. But my son has a lot of food allergies. And there's a lot of times when he can't have whatever dessert is being served, like if we go to an outing or go out to dinner or something. So that was his treat, that he was allowed to have a soda. And some people are probably appalled they shouldn't have soda at all. But, you know, it's moderation and it's, you know, something like that is a treat, if you will. But let's talk about sugary drinks for a minute now that I mentioned soda, because I think a lot of people are falling into the trap of, well, they eat fine, but then you find out they're drinking sugared beverages all day long.
Yes. And that's, you know, even if your weight is healthy, even if you're blood sugars are good, no matter what, that is just something. It's the one thing I think all of the dietitians that I work with will say never to. We don't say never to too many foods, but I think that's one of them because it's just empty calories. It's a detriment to blood sugar, to weight, to everything. So that would be the one thing that I would change, you know. And, you know, the best thing is water. We all know it's easy. It's, you know, make it cold, make it sweet, make it with fruits in it. But it's the best thing you can do.
Yeah. I found my daughter loves just regular old water. My son drinks seltzer.
Which is also good.
Yeah. And he loves seltzer. There's some that are fruit, like natural flavored or whatever. And to him, it's like a soda, even though there's no sugar in it.
Right, exactly.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, fine, drink that, you mm-hmm. know, more than happy to have you drink that. So that's great. Okay. We want to speak, you were mentioning that there are some new technologies in mm-hmm. diabetes. So I'm anxious to hear those.
Okay. I thought it would just be interesting to bring up some of the things that are going on. We all know that when you have diabetes, you need to check your blood sugars. And the common thing that we used to check them with our blood sugar meters, where you have to prick your finger, you put the drop of blood on your strip, and it reads your blood sugar number. But there are now a couple of things that have come out for the general population that actually are called continuous glucose monitoring systems. And one of them is, to describe it, is a quarter-shaped disc that is inserted onto your arm very painlessly, and that disc stays on your arm for 10 days, and with it you get for lack of a better word, a reader or a wand, and you wave the wand over the disc, and it reads your blood sugar.
Wow.
So you no longer really have to test your blood sugar with a finger stick unless it recommends that you do. So it could be it sees you're going low or whatever, and it may say check your blood sugar. So that is now available to everyone.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I will say, though, that Medicare patients can't use it unless they're on insulin. But if you have commercial insurances, they're beginning to cover that. It's called the Freestyle Libre.
Do you know how much those cost?
I don't. It's probably varied among the different insurances. And there are other continuous glucose monitoring systems that are out there now that are probably a little more complex that people on insulin pumps use, those types of things. And plus the insulin pump industry too is exploding with new technology, where the insulin pumps now can actually make a decision about how much insulin it gives you versus you making the decision.
That's amazing.
We're teaching that to our patients now. So it's not like a future thing.
Right.
It's happening right now. So all of those things are very exciting in the diabetes world. Gives people a lot more tools to manage their diabetes, which is really what you want. Makes it easier, you know, less stressful. If you really hate sticking your finger, guess what? We now have an option. It depends. Some people get used to it. Some people don't. But those are the kind of things that are available now.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. I'm glad, because sticking your finger four times a day or possibly more, depending on your numbers, is no fun for anyone, that's for sure.
No.
So I want to talk about a few things that are going on in our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And these are some things that we can do to promote healthy behaviors. So I want to share with the group that Beth and I are part of something called the Healthy Hunterdon Workforce Initiative, which is really to create a culture of health inside our businesses. And we are hosting a walk on April 4th. There's going to be several throughout the county, and this is in celebration of American Heart Association National Move More Day. We're going to have a walk at Red Mill in Clinton at 9 a.m. There will be a walk at the Chamber of Commerce building, which is 119 Main Street in Flemington, at 12 noon. And then we'll have another walk at Deer Path Park at 4:30. So I'm just looking at the time, and I can't even believe that our time is up already.
Wow.
So I want to thank you for coming, and I hope everyone has learned something, and I hope it will encourage all of us to live a healthier lifestyle and to make those small changes that have a big impact on our health.
Thank you.
All right.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.